never done this before, so let me. You said turn it on, right, Pastor?
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Is that working?
Yeah.
Okay. Can't, you know, my hearing is not all that great, so. This morning we talked a little bit about Thanksgiving. Well, Thanksgiving is of the world, the Thanksgiving Day, because what happened was a long time ago, and I don't remember the year, but the pilgrims left England because they couldn't worship the God as they wanted to. So they came to America, but on their way they were worried because at that time the people thought the world was flat. But they got here and they had a bad time, a lot of them died and so forth, but they worshiped the Lord and they got the Indians to worship with them. But God said we're to worship every day, all the time. And that's what we're supposed to be doing, worshiping the Lord every day, not just when we have a turkey or ham or whatever you eat on Thanksgiving Day. So we've got to remember we have to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. And I started out with a sermon for today, but then the Lord made me change it because I don't think he liked what I was saying. So I changed it. Actually, what I was doing was going to chastise a lot of you. But the Lord told me not to do that. And I was going to talk about how hard it is for a pastor, what he has to go through. You know, we all think it's just on Sunday, but it's not. It's all week long. It takes a long time. And you'd be surprised. You may think you've done it, you're finished. And then the Lord comes along, Holy Spirit comes along and makes you change it. I've had to change it at the very last minute. I was up all night long to change mine just because he made me change it and like what I said. Okay, today I'm going to be talking about heaven. What is heaven? Where is heaven? What is heaven like? Who's in heaven right now? Will we know each other when we get there? Well, heaven is a real place. Just as much a place as is Loma Linda, Redlands, and Los Angeles. Everyone wants to go there. The polls suggest that nearly 80% of all Americans believe there is a place called heaven. This tells me that even in the skeptical age, there is something deep inside the human heart that cries out, there's got to be something more than the pain and suffering of this life. Something more than 70 or 100 years. I changed that. The Bible says 70, 80 years, but I'm pushing 80. So I'm not going to mention 80. So I changed it from 70 to 100 years on planet Earth. Something more than being born, living, dying, and then being buried in the ground. Sometimes we talk about a God-shaped vacuum inside the human heart. So there must also be a heaven-shaped vacuum, a sense that we were made for something more than just this life. And we all know there is because this is not our home. Our home is in heaven with the Lord Jesus and God, not here. We're here to learn, to do the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We were made to live forever. Because I'm getting older, I can't memorize all this, so I have to read it. We're all made to live forever somewhere. In a real sense, we were made for heaven. We're all made for heaven. There is another fascinating statistic. Not only do most Americans believe in heaven, most people expect to go there when they die. How many people in here want to go to heaven? See? That's another problem. Not everybody raises their hand when pastor's up here talking. That was part of my sermon too, the other sermon. I think we all want to go to heaven. If you ask people on the street of any city, do you think you will go there when you die? The vast majority would answer, I hope so, or I think so, or perhaps I have a chance. Not very many people would say they aren't going to heaven. I don't know any. I've never heard anybody say they're not going to heaven. If you know you are going to live forever somewhere, it would help to know for sure where that's going to be. You don't want to just be wonder all your life, well, if I die, I die. So what? No, don't matter where I go. Well, it really matters because eternity is a long, long time. Long time. After all, if you're wrong about heaven, you're going to be wrong for a long, long time. Eternity is eternity to be exact. So eternity, you'll be in the wrong place. You don't want to do that. I hope everyone here is sure of where they will spend eternity. If you're not sure, talk to some of us or talk to Pastor about it. You need to make sure. You have to be sure where you're going. Well, heaven is a real place. Listen to the words of Jesus on the night before he was crucified. And I'm going to read John 14, 1 through 3 to you. The other place that we preach at, where the old people are at, they chastised me because I wrote down all the scripture. And they said, well, you don't take it out of the Bible. Well, it's coming out of the Bible. I'm just not trying to look for it each time. And I work over there not because I'm old, but because those people, that's the end of their life right there. And I'm trying to help them before they die to make sure that, you know, because a lot of people know Jesus, they know heaven, they know everything about it, but they don't know enough about it. They don't even try to find out about it. They just figure, oh, it's going to happen. Once I accept Christ, I'm a Christian. But that could be misleading. So, John 14, 1 through 3. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Twice in the verses, Jesus calls heaven a place. So it has to be a place. He means that heaven, my Father's house, is a real place, as real as Loma Linda or as real as your home. It has real people. That's why in Revelation 21 it's called an enormous city teeming with people. The Bible also tells us that heaven is the dwelling place of God. His throne is there. The angels are there. And the Lord Jesus Christ is there. Philippians 3:20 says, our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus told the thief on the cross, today you will be with me in paradise. That's in Luke 23:43. Heaven is closer than you think. Heaven is a real place. It's where Jesus is right now, and it's not far away from us either. And if you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, you could be there today. We don't know. That's why you have to be ready all the time. What is heaven like? The Bible doesn't give us much information on that, but here are some information. In Psalm 33:13, it says it's God's dwelling place. In Acts 1:11, it says where Christ is today. Philippians 1:21-23 says where Christians go when they die. John 14:2 says the Father's house. Hebrews 11:10, a city designed and built by God. Hebrews 11:16, a better country. Luke 23:43, paradise. Revelation 21, streets paved with gold, walls are precious jewels. All the streets are paved with gold. The reason they're paved with gold is to tell us that the things we treasure here will be used to pave the streets there. So it's useless. Gold is only good while we're here. It's not good after we leave here. Who is in heaven now? God. The Lord Jesus, angels, and the saints of God who died on this earth, those who trusted in God's word and look to God's redemption at Calvary. Also, every true believer from all over the world. The Bible also teaches that the moment we die, we could go directly into the presence of the Lord Jesus. And that's in Philippians 1:23. And let me read that to you also. And the reason I'm going to read that to you is because being around Seventh-day Adventists a lot, which I am, they don't believe that when you die, you're going to go straight to heaven. They believe you'll stay in a grave. And I keep telling them, well, the body's going to stay in a grave, but I know that when God breathed into us, life into us, it's dead. The breath is not going to stay.
Oh, thank you.
The breath is not going to stay there forever. It can't stay in the grave. It's going to go back to be with the Lord. It's his breath. So that's what I keep telling them. So Philippians 1, 21 through 23. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. But it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Why does he want to stay here? He wants to do the job that the Lord gave him. He wants to let people know that what's true is true, and truth is the important thing. Hold on. I've got a trouble in my throat today. There's a frog running around in there. You are either saved or lost. There is no middle ground. You will either spend eternity in heaven or hell. It's your choice. God gave us choices. You might be surprised who is there. When you get there, you'll be surprised who's there waiting for you. But I am sure of one thing, or one truth. No one will go to heaven except by the grace of God and through the merits of the blood of Jesus. If a man or woman says no to Jesus, he has no hope of heaven. No hope of heaven. We also may be sure that we shall not know less in heaven than we know here. And that's 1 Corinthians 13:12 says, now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am known fully. So we're going to know people when we get to heaven. How does God know us? He knows us completely, intimately, thoroughly, inside and out, with nothing hidden, but everything seen as it really is. And that's in Psalm 139, 1 through 4. So what will we do in heaven for all eternity? Help God run the universe. Now, I have a friend, a good friend, who told me one day, and I think he was joking, but I don't know for sure, that heaven's going to be boring, because all we're going to do is run around up there from cloud to cloud and praise God. Well, if that's all we do, that's not going to be boring, but that's what he told me. Well, the Bible doesn't tell us everything we want to know, but we can be sure of this. Heaven won't be boring, and it will be more fun than the best party you've ever gone to, ever went to. I can guarantee you this also. No one will be sitting around on a cloud, eating grapes and polishing his halo. No, we'll all be too busy for that. We're going to be doing the Lord's work still. Here are some things that will keep us busy in heaven. We will worship without distraction, serve without exhaustion, fellowship without fear, learn without fatigue, rest without boredom. The best part of heaven will be seeing Jesus himself face to face, in person. You'll talk to him. We will worship the Son of God and celebrate his great victory over sin, while the endless ages of eternity roll on and on and on. The most awesome worship and music you've ever experienced on earth is but a dim reflection of the praise we will render around the throne of God. And I'm sorry, ladies, that I don't mean anything by you, but God's music's probably better. Now, how can you be sure you're going to heaven? This is the most important question of all. How do you know you're going to go to heaven? I mean, do you think the Bible's true? I do. Do you think the Bible, there's something for you just to read? No. If you're just reading it, you might as well throw it away. But you need to study it and learn it and remember it. You need to put it in your heart. It needs to go deep, deep down in your heart. God has made it easy for you and for me also. He did the hard stuff first. And you're probably having trouble with my language, my Massachusetts accent, but hard is hard. Right, Pastor? When we sent his son to die on a cross for us, he paid the price for your sins so that you could one day stand before God in heaven. And that's the main thing. We're going to stand before God in heaven. John 14:6 says, Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He also said, I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved. That's in John 10:9. Jesus is not only the way to heaven, he's also the door to heaven. You will have to open and enter. He is waiting for you. He will not open it for you. You have to do it yourself. So I said, he gave you choices. He gave us all choices. We need to read it and believe it and learn it, or we can just sit it down someplace and say, oh, well, it's on my coffee table like most Catholic people do. I'm not knocking the Catholics, but I used to be a Catholic, raised a Catholic. Matter of fact, my grandmother had big thoughts for me. She wanted to make me a priest. So she told the priest at the school I went to that to keep me after school and teach me. Well, all they did was teach me how to do the work. That's all they did. I didn't teach me anything else. But I couldn't be a priest because I liked women too much. So priests at that time did not get married. Probably, I think they don't today either. Jesus, if you want to go to heaven, you've got to go through the door marked Jesus Christ. There is no other entrance. And it needs to be done now. There is no later after you die. And you could walk out of this place and that could be the end of your life. We could be sitting here and your life could end instantly right then and there. So you have to be ready all the time. You can't wait for something to happen. You have to do it now. Ronald Reagan. Everybody remember Ronald Reagan? Ronald Reagan was once asked this question. Suppose you were to die and found yourself standing at the door of heaven. If God were to say, why should I let you into heaven? What do you suppose his answer was? Well, before I tell you what the president answered for that question, let me ask how you would respond. Think about that. How would you respond if you were in front of God now and he says, why should I let you in? Think about that. Picture the scene. You are standing at the very gates of heaven. It's more beautiful than you ever imagined. This is where you want to spend eternity. This is where you belong. But before you enter, the Lord himself asks what possible reason you have to claim admission. Can you give him that answer? You pause, knowing that all eternity hangs on your answer. What will you say? Well, let's go back to the White House. The president paused, thought for a moment, then replied, well, I guess I'll have to answer with John 3:16. Would you answer with that? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That's a good answer because your only hope of heaven is through the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other way. Let me make this very personal. If you were to die tonight, do you know for certain that you would go to heaven? Every one of you is right now. answer that question to yourself right now. If you were to die tonight, would you go to heaven? Don't say, well, I think so, or whatever, but make sure you have a positive answer to that. And make sure it's not something you have to think about, because if you have to think about it, you're not sure. So you need to make sure. I've already said that this is too important to say, I think so, or I hope so. If you're wrong, you're going to be wrong for a long, long time. So let me ask you again. Do you know for certain? Do you know for certain? Don't be afraid to answer that question. But do you? Do you know for certain that you're going to go to heaven today? If you died right now, would you go to heaven? What we need is solid ground on which to stand. And we have it in the death and resurrection of our Jesus Christ. Our entire hope of heaven is wrapped up in what Jesus did when he died on the cross for the sins of the world and arose from the dead. Hopefully everybody believes all of that, because that's what the whole Bible consists of. Even the Old Testament, it's all through the Old Testament also. One of the most beloved hymns puts it this way, and I forgot the name of this hymn, but you probably remember. I think it's called All Other Ground is Sinking Sand, I think. But the words are, on Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Anybody remember that? Sing a little bit of it. Sing it. Everybody sing it. Can you? Anybody? Nobody? Anybody listening? Okay. That says it all. If you want to go to heaven, you must base your hope on the solid rock of Jesus' blood and righteousness. No other way. You gotta give into it. Are you standing on the rock this morning? I hope so. Are you wholly leaning on Jesus' name? Boy, I'd give anything to know for sure everybody is. One final word and I'm done. No one goes to heaven by accident. You cannot get there by just being God. You can't get there by just being good. Heaven is God's prepared place for the prepared people. Hopefully everybody in here is prepared. We prepare for heaven, and then God prepares heaven for us. He prepares heaven for us as we get ourselves prepared for him. I've already told you that most people believe in heaven, and most people think they are going there. But are they on the right road? Remember now, there's two roads out there. You've got to make sure you're on the right one. One of them is real wide, the bottom, very narrow at the top. Are they building their lives on Jesus Christ, the solid rock? Too many, I fear, are standing on sinking sand and do not know it. Hopefully, we're all on solid rock and not on sinking sand. What is your hope for heaven? Mine is Jesus Christ. I've staked everything I have on him. If he can't take me to heaven, then I'm not even going. What about you? When a dark night falls, the lights go out, and the waters of death swirl around you, what will happen to you then? When death takes over, what's going to happen to you? Well, if you know God, if you know Jesus, you're going to have a smile on your face. You're going to say, finally, finally. You're going to think to yourself, finally, finally, I'm going to go home. I'm going to get out of this rat race. I'm going to go home where I belong. And Jesus will have his hand out waiting to take you with him up there. If you know Jesus, you have nothing to fear. Put your trust in Jesus. Run as fast as you can to the cross. Let that blood flow over you. Stand with your weight on the solid rock of our salvation. May God help you to trust in Jesus Christ and in him alone for your salvation. Nothing else. There is no other way. And may God grant that we will all meet one day in heaven, safe at home, in heaven at last. I'll be there. What about you? You know, the Bible says that we will find a big throng of people waiting for us when we get there. You know who that is? It's all of our friends. That's Moses. That's Elijah. It's all of them. Everybody will be there, and we'll know who they are. And we can talk to them. We can see them again. And we can spend eternity with them again in the New Jerusalem when it comes down to the earth. And that's why I say it's a big city. But I'm afraid that there may not be a lot of people in it, because look what's happening now. We've lost the Bible in schools. You can't pray in school. You can't do anything in school. But yet the Muslim religion is taught. So let me get on to something else. I'll be there. What about you? What about you? Do you leave this morning and you're not sure? You're not sure if you're going to heaven? Well, you need to make sure. So, amen. In the glorious name of our Jesus, amen. That's the end, Pastor.
Thank you, Father Wayne.
Father Wayne.